Welcome to the College Commons podcast of Hebrew Union College. I'm your host, Joshua Hola. Today, we're doing something a little special, a crossover episode with our colleagues at HUC Connect, featuring a recent Fritz Bamberger Memorial Lecture that sparked a lot of conversation. Our guest is Dr. Jessica Roda, anthropologist, ethnomusicologist, and associate professor of Jewish civilization at Georgetown University. Her work explores how wellness cultures, alternative healing practices, and cross-cultural adaptations are reshaping Jewish life in ways that are as unexpected as they are revealing. In this lecture, Dr. Roda guides us through a world where spiritual seeking, embodied experience, and Jewish identity intersect in surprising places. It's thoughtful, it's provocative, and it opens a window onto communities negotiating tradition, modernity, and the search for meaning. So settle in as we bring you this special collaboration with HUC Connect and the 2026 Fritz Bamberger Memorial Lecture.
This year, for my spring break, I returned to New York City to conduct ethnographic fieldwork on psychedelic in Haredi circles. You may wonder how this non-Orthodox-looking woman, who does not come from this background, ended up investing in these practices. So let me give you a few words of introduction to this journey. Since 2022, I have been returning regularly to New York City, mostly to reconnect with my interlocutors I had written about and to participate in various plant medicine ceremonies organized within Orthodox networks as part of my own healing journey. The last time I had fully immersed myself in fieldwork was in 2021, when I was completing my book for women and girls only, which focuses on Haredi women in the arts, as well as those who have left those communities. In that work, I examined how technology, music, film, and performance become tools through which Haredi and formerly Haredi women negotiate alternative forms of visibility and womanhood. And I became particularly interested in the ways the language of wellness and health is mobilized to legitimize practices otherwise framed as transgressive. Music, rearticulated as a tool for wellness, allows new interpretation of kolisha, the restriction around women's singing, and as well as modesty, to emerge, transforming what was once prohibited into something acceptable, even necessary. While writing this book, I became increasingly attentive to the process through which individuals contour norms, making sense of practices that unsettle what they had been taught to live by, as well as the strategies used to render proscribed knowledge and practices visible and accessible in order to transform social norms. It was in this context, as I was finishing the manuscript, that I met Chaim, a talented artist who opened the door to a completely new set of transgressive practices. Participation in plant medicine ceremony, such as ayahuasca, originating in indigenous communities of the Amazon with Haredi women and men. Chaim shared with me his story, one that led me into the world of psychedelic in Haredi context, and more specifically to contributing to the anthropology of healing within Jewish studies. In my presentation today, I will share part of Chaim's story. His experience serves as a point of reference to examine how broader categories of pain, trauma, and healing are mobilized in the context of psychedelic use within Orthodox Jewish settings. Through his case, I connect his experience to broader practices I have observed, such as the kosherization of its use by some rabbi, and raise the question of why psychedelics, particularly in ceremonial settings, have become appealing to Haredim, despite a theological framework that emphasizes acceptance of what Hashem provides. What are they finding at these ceremonies that they can't find with a minyan at shul? Psychedelics emerge here as a tool to reframe existence and trauma, even among those who are expected to already find answers within their religious texts and belief, yet continue to seek elsewhere. But for others, Even Jewish texts are interpreted as already referring to these plants, so there is no issue with their use. I will then situate what is happening in these circles within what I call the ecosystem of Jewish psychedelic. And finally, I will offer some concluding remarks on what the specific moment is teaching us about the state of Judaism, from ultra-Orthodox context to the broader Jewish world, as the search for and the participation in these ceremonies extend across all types of Jewish communities. Chaim's story, like many others, was shaped by non-normative practices, by forms of subversion that require constant negotiation. He had experienced sexual abuse as a teenager at the hand of someone close to him. For years, he kept this to himself. Shame and guilt became entangled with profound sense of invisibility. In a large Haredi family, attention is often scarce. Parents are absorbed by work, by younger children, by the demand of a life structure around continuity and expansion. Chaim described growing up feeling both surrounded and unseen, part of a collective, yet deeply alone. The emergence of public conversation about sexual abuse within his community in the mid-2010, alongside a series of scandals, pushed him to confront what he had long buried. Therapy became a first step, a way, as he put it, to figuring himself out. Yet what surfaced was not only trauma, but a persistent sense of dissociation, a fragmentation that allowed him to function while remaining detached from himself and from a secular life he would explore secretly. In addition to his trauma, Chaim experienced religious doubt, prompting questioning of the Haredi lifestyle. In this context, religious life appears as one option among others and as a limited and suffocating framework for individual aspiration. The expectations of a frum life, marriage at a young age, a large family, stand in tension with a growing desire to explore a different lifestyle, something not yet clearly defined. While the anthropologist Ayala Feder, who documented religious doubt with her book, Hidden Heretics, demonstrates how doubters create a sense of morality around the secrecy of their non-observant life, notably for their children, the language of healing and repair, as explored by Chaim and many of his peers, points to a new discursive shift and process around religious doubt and disassociation. It led me to ask how these religious doubters come to experience and make sense of dissociation and how this dissociation is lived and then processed through healing with psychedelics. Chaim found himself inhabiting a form of dissociation, moving between adherence and distance, between belonging and questioning. Conversations with friends and family slowly made this doubt more speakable, though never fully resolved. Therapy initiated this process, but it was through encounters with psychedelics practices that Chaim described a shift in perception. He learned about ayahuasca ceremonies through other Hasidic friends who had already participated in such ceremonies in mixed contexts with Jews and non-Jews. The first ceremony Chaim attended was led by an ex-Hasidic facilitator who uses Jewish song in Yiddish and Lashon Kodesh, creating what he described as a Jewish vibe around the ayahuasca ceremony. Chaim went with a friend and thought to himself, is my friend or doing it? Why not? Following that first experience, he participated in two other ceremonies, one facilitated by another former Hasidic man, and the last by a secular Israeli hippie. Chaim approached these ceremonies with the hope of gaining clarity, of trespassing his trauma, of quieting what he described as a dissociative mind, and of becoming more present within his own family. With this ceremony, everything changed, he told me. Therapy had been the beginning of his journey, but the psychedelic experience accelerated how he felt about himself. It allowed him to confront both his trauma and the structure that had shaped his life. One of the visions he described was of the earth seen from above, accompanied by an overwhelming sense of connection between all human beings. In that moment, the weight of the religious dogma that had framed his life appeared diminished, almost arbitrary. Another vision was more visceral. He saw his body stretched in multiple directions, pulled apart at its extremities. With guidance from the facilitator, he interpreted this as an image of himself, caught between incompatible demands, always trying to please everyone. On another note, he remembers that some people have told him that we were all at Mount Sinai and that the plant medicine was supposed to bring you closer to Sinai. Listening to Chaim, what emerged was not a simple narrative of rupture, but one of ongoing negotiation. His experience did not lead him to reject the world he came from, nor to fully embrace another one. Instead, they opened a space in which he could begin to live with contradiction, develop stronger psychological flexibility, not always dissociate with discomfort emerge when discomfort emerged, and most importantly, felt confident enough to share with some members of his family. Over time, Chaim described this work as a movement toward better alignment, though never a complete resolution because of the life he already inhabits and needs to maintain. Psychedelic experiences allow him to reduce dissociation and to engage with it more directly in specific contexts. He became more able to speak about his criticism of the Frum, the observant lifestyle, and more capable of inhabiting his relationship with the same degree of secrecy. This process was about accepting himself and his traumatic past. What has been particularly striking is that for many of the Haredi Jews I have encountered, while they are seeking to repair the pain produced by the constraint of a high-controlled society, the process of healing often takes place with members of that same community and with facilitators from within it, revealing a substantial network of participants and facilitators. While Frumkeit, observant lifestyle, can produce forms of pain that it does not always address, it is also the place where one seeks to heal a sort of need for acceptance from within. The same social world that had been experienced of constraining also becomes a site of repair. Through this process, Chaim did not leave anything behind. Instead, he learned to inhabit his Frum life differently. Through ayahuasca, but also through psilocybin, magic mushrooms, and MDMA, or ecstasy, in both individual and collective settings, almost always with his Haredi fellows who he grew up with, as he did. Chaim described a gradual process of accepting himself, his past, and the life he continues to live. Healing, in the sense, was not about making a choice. It was a process of learning to live without, of not drawing a direct correlation between his experience of abuse and religious doubt, of holding together competing expectations, and of creating space for parts of the self that had long been suppressed, and most importantly, of feeling safe enough to express them in specific context. The story that Chaim shared is not an isolated one. I have met many other Haredi Jews, Hasidic and Litvish, participating in psychedelic ceremonies among other Haredim. Their reasons for joining these experiences are diverse, but they are often drawn to the experience of healing and the feeling to feeling relief of various forms of emotional pain arising from dissociative mechanism. This include a wide range of struggles and trauma, sometimes linked to the demand of a Frum life, as well as the experience of abuse, whether physical or sexual. Psychedelics become a way to make sense of the pain, often through the lens of intergenerational trauma, to accept it and to move forward while remaining shaped by it. If in the 20th century, largely secular Jews were seeking the divine through alternative spiritual practices and psychedelic drugs, today we observe a reversal. Jews raised in ultra-religious environments, already embedded in theological frameworks, where the divine is present, are turning toward psychedelics. Not only are members of Haredi communities consuming them, they are also serving them, creating new ritual forms that increasingly function as a form of parnasse, of income, within the domain of health, while simultaneously producing theological discourses around their use. Those seeking to authorize or normalizing it turn to halacha, Jewish law, translating substances long framed as secular or illicit into a religious framework that can provide various forms of emotional and mental healing. What becomes particularly clear in some of this circle is that the growing normalization of psychedelic, especially within environments attentive to halachic frameworks, is only tied to health. It includes the search for hallucinogenic plant medicine as something that can be framed as part of the historical Jewish experience, a sort of return to a Jewish indigeneity, as some of the people I met describe it. To understand how discourses on psychedelics emerge within those circles, it is important to situate them within a longer history of Jewish engagements with psychedelics, consciousness, and therapeutic experimentations. As psychedelic research reemerged globally, this question have resurfaced. In contemporary discussions, psychedelics are increasingly framed not only as therapeutic tools, but also as substance invested with sacred potential, capable of mediating encounters with the divine, the self, and forms of repair. In this setting, substances are not understood as recreational or merely pharmacological. Rather, they are actively sacralized through ritual frameworks, sound, and prayers, following indigenous ceremonies with ayahuasca and sacred mushrooms, as well as religious practices with plant medicines, such as the ayahuasca churches, such as the Santo Daime, the Union de Vegetal or Barquiña, and through the transplantation of rituals with plant medicine into different contexts. I explained the Haredim's integration of the global culture of ceremonies of plant medicine to heal through multiple factors. In the last decade, ultra-Orthodox Judaism has experienced a crisis of religious authority accompanied by the growing adoption of therapeutic frameworks for addressing mental health, trauma, and religious doubt. These issues were long neglected or denied. Since the mid-2010, however, mental health and the idea of healing from trauma have emerged as dominant frameworks for addressing religious doubt, bringing together altered state practices inspired by indigenous knowledge. These Jewish developments are also part of a broader globalization of wellness in which substances circulate through transnational networks as tool of individual transformation and spiritual repair. This development echoes earlier observation by Aya Feder, who in 2010 noted the increasing integration of therapeutic language and popular psychology alongside a growing openness to discussing experience such as sexual abuse and other forms of trauma. Religious authorities who acknowledge those controversial practices and offer halachic framework for them are those supporting alternative ways of being, Haredi, but only through the lens of healing. Contrary to those who would reject these discursive practices, they recognize the need for alternative experiences to address pain and frame them as kosher. On the other hand, individuals like Chaim and some of his friends who do not embrace halacha view these religious authorities as part of a system that pushes a religious agenda and religious interpretation of psychedelic that is unnecessarily what it gives them reasons and sentiment of acceptance. So now I just wanted to show you an important figure in this movement. This is Rabbi Raphael Smirla, who published this book about alternative medicine in halacha, and recently he did a panel. It's about an hour and a half, but I just wanted to show you a moment where he talks about psychedelic and overall plant medicine in terms of emuna.
There is something so powerful that grows from the ground in our world. This How can we understand it? We don't have to understand it. We just have to accept it. That Ribbono Shel Olam took care of us all the way from the beginning of my Bereishis. He prepared everything we need. This is the emunah that we have to have.
And a little bit earlier in the video, he also explained how psychedelic is accepted in case of healing, but not for spiritual search. So it's a very interesting moment. Another video by Ephraim Palvanov. He was interviewed in the podcast by Eli Nash. And if you're familiar with the world of healing and health, it's a very important one. And just wanted to show you the exchange and how he's framing psychedelic.
Was psychedelics. You seem to have a thoughtful and educated perspective on many subjects, not the seat of the pants, but the one who studied subjects, so I'm curious your take. It's certainly a revolution that's going on in the Jewish community, like an actual psychedelic revolution, and curious to hear your take.
Yeah, I think we can't ignore it anymore. It's a powerful tool. People are using it for healing, and the stories I hear are amazing. Like, people getting rid of their traumas or overcoming traumas and transforming their lives. Of course, there's a potential danger of overdoing it, of abusing it. Even oftentimes people don't think they're abusing it, but they actually are. It's becoming like a regular habit. And they feel like they need it. And they forget that we still have Torah. We still have mitzvot. We still have that path. We don't necessarily need the chemicals. They might be helpful, just like any medicine. And we do see references to these kinds of things in the Torah, and I think the Torah model for a potential psychedelic experience is what we see with the Kohen Gadol, with the high priest on Yom Kippur, because it was only once a year that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would bring with him the special concoction, the ketoret, right? This is 11 ingredients, 11 special herbs and spices, plus a few other ingredients, and he would bring that into the Holy of Holies.
I could develop on the way he's framing, and not only him, but a lot of other religious authority are framing from a Torah-oriented perspective, and to read also a form of theological discourse of psychedelic. So if at first, or for those who are new to psychedelics and indigenous plant medicine, such as ayahuasca, iboga, or mushrooms, magic mushrooms, the experience of Chaim and the discourse of the rabbi may sound anecdotal or esoteric, there is now a substantial body of scientific research confirming the benefits of these substances for post-traumatic stress disorder and beyond. As the therapist Guy Simon, who has worked with survivors of the Nova festivals in Israel, explained, and I quote, "Trauma exposure can fundamentally alter individuals' psychological well-being, involving dissociative processes that can either serve as adaptive responses or become pathological depending on the severity and context of the trauma. Clinical research has demonstrated promising results as psychedelic substances appear to facilitate trauma processing through several mechanisms, including enhanced emotional processing, reduced fear response, and increased psychological flexibility. At the same time, indigenous communities have been using these plants for thousands of years, grounded in rich oral traditions of healing. Beyond the medical validation often required within Western frameworks since the war on drugs, and as Carl, the professor of neuroscience at Columbia, Carl Hart, suggests, a broader war on pleasure and on black and brown communities, psychedelics in the West have long been connected to spirituality, mysticism, and altered states. Many Jews participated in these domains throughout the 20th century. I remember someone explaining to me that if indigenous communities have their own plants and ways of healing, perhaps Jews have once had something similar but lost it, turning instead toward text. Paradoxically, the Jewish experience with psychedelics and drugs is not new. In 1971, at the beginning of the war on drugs, President Richard Nixon reacted to a briefing on Marijuana Reconsidered, a book by the Jewish Harvard psychiatrist Dr. Lester Greenspoon, remarking that advocates of marijuana legalization were disproportionately Jewish. While comparative data across religious groups remain unseen or uneven, existing documentation points to a significant Jewish presence in cannabis-related debates and reform movements, a pattern that extends into contemporary discussions surrounding psychedelic healing and spirituality, as noted by scholars and practitioners such as Adriana Ketzer, Natalie Ginsberg, Madison Margolin, and Sam Shonkoff. From mystical traditions rooted in Kabbalah and Hasidism to 20th century engagements with psychiatry and psychedelic research, Jewish actors have long reflected on consciousness, transcendence, and altered states. Rabbis such as Shlomo Carbach, Zalman Shesher Shlomi, and Aryeh Kaplan engage in forms of spiritual experimentation, while Jewish scientists, artists, and scholars, including Richard Harper, Sidney Cohen, Allen Ginsberg, Arthur Green, Barbara Rubin, and Benny Shannon, played central roles in shaping early psychedelic discourse in the 20th century. In the last decade, as psychedelic research has reemerged, those interests have resurfaced, both in the broader public sphere and notably within Jewish context. Journalist Michael Pollan has observed the proeminence of Jewish actors in this field, even noting the relative ease of identifying Jewish religious leaders for psilocybin trials compared to other communities. What is particularly striking is a shift in how psychedelic are framed, no longer understood primarily as tools for expanding consciousness or for spiritual and celebratory purposes. They are increasingly presented as substance mobilized to address and facilitate healing. This framework has been embraced in the Haredi circle, as I demonstrated, and I have begun to document, as well as my Israeli colleague, the psychologist Yonatan David at Exeter University, who has been doing comparative work with Haredi community in Israel and the USA. Another important node in the contemporary psychedelic ecosystem is Israel, where psychedelic culture has developed through multiple historical trajectories, combining medical research, artistic experimentation, and youth countercultures. Many American Jews across denominations, including Haredi communities, travel to Israel and are exposed to ideas circulating within these psychedelic circles. Several of the Hasidic Jews I have met among the pioneers of these practices first heard about ayahuasca ceremonies there. The culture of psychedelic in Israel remains particularly significant, encompassing medical research, celebratory contexts such as rave and festival cultures, and spiritual or healing practices. And here, if you're interested, I just wanted to mention the work of Lior Resman, Guy Simon, Ido Artogosh, and Yonatan David, among others. Alongside the globalization of plant medicines, indigenous ceremonies, and ayahuasca church rituals, which have influenced Haredi communities in North America, development in Israel have also shaped these environments. Initially, knowledge about psychedelic practices circulated through personal encounters and informal networks. With the advent of social media and broader transformational in legal and medical discourse, the scale and speed of this circulation changed dramatically. Psychedelics increasingly gain legitimacy through their association with therapy and mental health. Returning to Chaim, what we see is not a break from his world, but a reconfiguration from within. His search for healing with psychedelic does not take him outside the community, even as it responds to the pain produced within it. It unfolds in a space of tension where suffering, belonging, and transformation coexist. What these new ceremonies offer is not only a language of healing, but an embodied experience, a way to feel differently, to inhabit the body with less constraint, to access new states of mind, to get high, while also coming to know the self. In this sense, healing is not only about repair. It is about reorienting one's relationship to pain, to the body, and to the self. Psychedelics introduce new ways of sensing, of experiencing, of being that are not always available within existing religious frameworks as they are lived. These new ways create a dialogue between sciences, as biomedical paradigm demonstrated the potential of psychedelic for PTSD, depression, and more, and is used to normalize the practice, as well as the mystery of the experience and its outcome. The role of Rabbi Shmela and others who authorize and normalize these practices within an halachic framework is particularly significant. Without naming a crisis and focusing on mental health, eliminating the use of psychedelic for spiritual purposes that many do, they implicitly acknowledge limits within the current state of Haredi Judaism. By framing psychedelic through the language of Torah and Halakha, they open a space in which new approaches to suffering can emerge while maintaining continuity with tradition. This is not a rejection of authority, but a reworking of it. At the same time, not all participants seek this reintegration. Some engage in these practices as cultural reframing that distance itself from Halakha authority altogether. What we observe then is not a single movement, but multiple ways of negotiating authority, legitimacy, and experience. These practices involve the transgression of both state law and religious norms, but rather than positioning themselves outside these structures, many seek to re-legitimize them from within, while others move away from them. From an anthropological perspective, this movement contributes to the study of healing as a process, not as cure. Healing here is not the disappearance of symptoms, but a shift in one's relationship to them, a reconfiguration of the self over time. Psychedelics do not resolve pain as such, but they participate in a broader process of care, one that many describe as marking a before and an after, a new way of inhabiting life. For Jewish studies, this also opens a path toward a phenomenology of altered states of consciousness, long present in mystical traditions, but now experienced and articulated through the body rather than the text. What emerges is a movement from interpretation to embodiment, from doctrine to lived experience, reflecting a broader desire among many Jews today. If religious communities have long been understood as offering stability, meaning, and better mental health outcomes, what we see here complicates this narrative. These practices emerge precisely where existing forms are experienced as inefficient, potentially missing some spiritual and physical experience that prayers within the minyan in shul can't reproduce. They reflect a search not only for healing, but for pleasure, for presence, and for new ways of engaging both suffering and the sacred. And where does this leave us? This phenomenon reveals a transformation in Jewish life today, in how taboo is negotiated, how authority is redefined, how health is understood between sciences, and the need for non-explanatory ways to think about the world that traditions did not suffice, and how the sacred needs to constantly be reinvented. It points to a moment in which trust in established structures isn't settled, and where new forms of legitimacy are being produced, not outside traditions, but through his reconfiguration. Ultimately, what is at stake in the healing process that occurs in a new ceremonial setting is that there is a search for wholeness in a broken world. And because we're approaching Pesach, this is my deep hope that liberation could be accomplished while the reparation of this broken world occurs. Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Jessica Roda sharing insights from her 2026 Bamberger Lecture. We're grateful to our partners at HUC Connect for making this crossover possible, and of course, to all of you for joining us. If you'd like to explore more lectures, conversations, and resources, visit huc.edu/HUC Connect and check out the full HUC Connect archive. And of course, stay tuned to the College Commons podcast for more voices shaping Jewish thought and culture today. I'm Joshua Holo. Thank you for listening, and be well.